This is Comics Palooza, the only comic book podcast that is always hot to go. I'm one of your hosts, Chance.
It's a comics and nerd culture podcast, and I'm your other host, Cameron.
Hello, Cameron.
Hello. We've done it. We've made it. We've done another episode. I don't know why I'm celebrating at the beginning.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
We did it. See ya. Shortest episode ever. Best one yet.
Same turtle time, same bat channel, all that later. Yep.
Adios. I really don't know. I really don't know what can be. I'm a little frazzled.
Okay.
And it has to do with Fortnite.
Oh.
Because not what you think. Because my wife has been sitting on some V-Bucks for a really long time. And I had an account that was on our PlayStation. And for reasons that I don't really want to get into, I could not transfer that account to my Nintendo Switch, which is my preferred way to play, just because it's easier than playing split screen. And on the Switch too, it's not so bad. So I had to make a new account. And my wife wanted to use some of her V-Bucks to gift me a skin, because there was a skin that I really liked. And she was going to send it, gift it to me, but she gifted it to the account that I don't play anymore.
On the PlayStation.
On the PlayStation. And so it was just like in the ether, gone forever.
Goodbye, skin.
Goodbye, skin.
How much was
like
it?
Just 1,500 V-Bucks, which would come out to about 10, 11, 12 bucks.
Wow. That's more than half of Silk Song.
Yeah. More than one half of a Silk Song.
Oh, that's rough.
It is. It's rough. It's tough. She's gone.
Goodbye, skin.
We hardly knew ye.
I am also frazzled, but it is because I have a pulled muscle in my shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a pulled muscle in my leg and blisters all over my feet.
Why?
Because I went to the football game.
Uh-huh. The OU football game?
Yes. We had to park a mile and a half away.
Mm-hmm. Fortunate to be that close.
And
you could have just parked at my house and I'd have driven you over there.
We probably should have done that, actually. I was not there by choice. I am not a sportster.
As evidenced by the fact that you referred to it as a sportster.
If they haven't started calling themselves that, they shouldn't. They should start. I was doing it for our nonprofit that we have here in Oklahoma. And we had to park. And as you know, Cameron, our listeners at home may not. I pretty much only wear Chaco.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, when the walking is good, the trail is going to be like very smooth. And I just kind of step on the backs of them and wear them fairly loosely, more like flip-flops. But if I really need to go somewhere, I lace them up. Well, I did not think that this walk would be treacherous, but it very much was. So I had already rubbed blisters into my feet by the time we got there. So I was just walking with blistered feet the entire time we were there. So that sucks.
Yes.
Because then I was up and about selling programs for 4 hours. And then we go into the stadium. Excuse me. For those of you who don't know, because you are also not sportsters, OU was playing Michigan. Mm-hmm. And it was a very big deal. I guess because of some like SEC.
Well, you have to know the lore. Chance.
Yes, you got to know the lore. It doesn't matter. But this game was sold out, like completely sold out. Like what I heard was that the clubs and the suites even were oversold out.
Smart. Seems like a good idea.
Yeah, seems like a great idea. But one thing that I didn't
know. What the prophecy was about, actually.
Oh, the prophecy.
Blue and gold meets the crimson and cream under the September star. The seats shall overflow, and there will be much trembling and blisters.
Much trembling. Then I proceeded to have to. So we were selling programs, and all the proceeds went to our nonprofit. And so we take them to this this entrance, and we enter the entrance right around the same time everyone else is entering. So it's already crowded, very crowded, in fact. And we are dragging wagons, like those collapsible, like canvas wagons, full of like credit card machines and programs and stuff. We're dragging those through the big crowds already. That is already happening. And then we put our magazines in the stairwell that we're supposed to. It's like behind this locked door with a guard. because there was quite a bit of money in there. And we like go out because my wife is supposed to receive a check on the field for our organization. All of this sounds great, except she leaves about 5 minutes before me. I count some money and then I leave, and I am instantly, my face is buried in someone else's back and both of my shoulders are being touched. And it is not long until someone's pelvis is on my butt.
You left that part out of the group chat.
It was the most packed in a crowd I have ever been. Like, legitimately could not move without knocking someone somewhere. Like,
it's like you went to a rave suddenly.
It was like I went to a rave suddenly, except everyone was screaming at each other. There was a lady next to me who was screaming. She and I actually were okay. We were okay. But she was screaming at people like, I'm not wanting to get separated from my son. I'm not letting go of him. Do not push between me and my son. Her son was like 16 minimum. By the way he carried himself, I would not be surprised if he was a college freshman. But
she's not. No, listen, you don't understand. She is not going to be separated from her son.
Yeah, I mean, I kept reassuring her, like, I will not separate you. But legitimately, to get 20 feet, to get like 20 feet, I was in that line for 25 minutes. Well, it wasn't even a line. It was a mass of people. And I couldn't even, like, I couldn't move. Like, there was parts of me that were just like, I'm going to start knocking people over. Like, this is the most uncomfortable I've ever been. I got shoulder checked several times. There was this little twerp who was like, I'm with the band. I need to get through. And he meant the marching band, the little prick. Like, he was like, I need to get through. And, like, he comes to me and, like, shoulder checks me. And I shoulder check him right back because I am not having that at this moment. I shoulder check him right back. And then he looks at me. And I looked at him like I was going to kill him. Like, I just gave him this stare. And he was like, I'm just trying to get through. He just like turned away because I was so done at that point already.
This was Chance's message to us in the group chat, which I just think is, I said that this is the coolest thing Chance has ever said, because he was telling us about this. And one of our friends was like, holy crap, Chance started a fight. And then Chance replies, no, a little prick with the sides of his head shaved and a faux hawk tried to start a fight. I ended a fight and he backed down.
I did.
I ended it.
I did. So I still don't understand how this happened. Like, well, I do understand how it happened now, because they opened a lot more seating and did not think about the traffic that would incur. So I get why it happened. But the ramp up to the seats, there were some just real D-bags on this ramp, and they kept screaming boomer, because at OU you scream boomer and other people scream sooner, which is so stupid, but whatever. And they were on the ramp screaming, and for the first like 3-4 minutes, the crowd around me was screaming sooner back, when everyone was still like, oh,
this is a little pickle that we've gotten ourselves in.
Yeah, it's a little traffic jam, it'll clear up. But about like 9 minutes in, someone literally screamed back at them like, not until we're out of here, shut up. And I cannot for the life of me figure out why people weren't just going up into the stands. Like, why? Because those same people were on those stands, surrounded by the same people, like on that ramp up to the stands for like the whole 20 minutes. And finally, I really did just bully my way through, but I was like towards the exit and I was just like, I'm out of here.
Did you take the mom and her son with you?
No, because they wanted to stay for the game. There was a group of sorority girls in front of me at one point, and I was basically pushing them towards the exit. And I was like, let's just get free. We'll figure everything out once we're free.
Come on, girls.
And she goes, let's go, girls. Let us back in. And I'm like, I will buy you another freaking ticket. Just get out of my way. But they can't get out of my way because they couldn't move to the left or the right.
Flying V, ladies, let's go.
So finally, I pushed them out. They're too
young to get that reference.
Yeah, they probably would have been. I pushed them out, and then the security people were like, yeah, you guys can hang here until this all clears up. And I'm like, no, I am never setting foot in there again. And I left. I texted my wife, spend as much time as the game you want. I'm going to go watch anime on a bench.
Could have come to my house.
I should have come to your house. But yeah, so I feel like physically beaten up from that experience.
Wild stuff.
And I'm still very mad about it. Like, how could they not have somebody directing that traffic?
I mean, it makes sense.
And why weren't the people going up into the freaking stands? I just don't. I still don't have an answer to that.
Well, I'm glad you are alive and not in jail for beating up a college student.
Oh, man. No one would have convicted me.
No jury would convict me.
Well, the minute they saw this little D-bag's haircut, they would have been like, yeah.
He deserved it.
Yeah, I was... Legitimately, I voice texted my friends after because I was shaking too bad to type.
That's all right. We're just glad you're okay.
I am still quite frazzled from that.
But all right. We're not here to talk about Chance's football trauma.
Yeah. And I'm not a bigger fan of football today than I was yesterday. I'll tell you that much right now.
He couldn't have been much less, but he might be.
Yeah. Now I hate the fans, too.
I always hated the fans.
Yeah, I kind of always did too. Anyway, we're here to talk about
comic books. Their fans are all right.
Yeah. So this is your first time, welcome. Yeah. We love you. But yes, we're going to each present our best book. We're going to give it a pretty in-depth review. And then we're going to do our book blurbs, which are shorter reviews of books we didn't like as much.
Didn't like them as best books, but they might be still really good.
Yeah.
Just not the best one. Yes. And so I have 5 this week.
I also have 5. I have 6, but I must have missed an issue somewhere because I started reading it. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. So I'll figure that out.
It happens sometimes. But I'm up first this week.
Okay.
And I bring to you some fruit of the comic book industry. Also, I feel like just weirdly timed based on the initiative that's a part of. But it's Batman number 1 by Matt Fraction. And is it Jorge Jimenez or George?
Jorge Jimenez. Yes.
Jorge Jimenez. Did you read this one?
I did. That's one of my 5.
It's not your best one, though. So
it's not.
I guess you just didn't like it as much as me.
Yeah. Let me get my blurb out of the way.
Get it out of the way and then get out of my way.
Yeah, this was a really fun book that is setting up what could be a really fun series, but I need to see more.
That makes sense. Because even though it's a number 1 and we got a new creative team, Batman with the gray and blue suit, which is just a real nice look.
It's the best. Yeah.
It's definitely, there's some things that have happened that I feel like would have been nice to know.
Yeah.
For example... Vandal Savage is the police commissioner, and Commissioner Gordon is just a beat cop again. Alfred is a hologram? Question mark.
He's dead. I knew Alfred was dead.
He's dead. So is he in his brain? Is he?
Yeah, just seeing the ghost? I think he's just being haunted by him.
Well, that's unfortunate. And it seems like Batman's got a new bat cave and a new like base of operations.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah, I know a little bit about what happened. Bruce basically lost his whole fortune, but somehow like Alfred and Dick all got it all back somehow. And Alfred died in the midst of all this. I don't know.
That's unfortunate for Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be back. I know how these things work.
He's got to fight. He's got to fight in DC. All in, right? I'm just kidding.
He does? Oh, maybe he does. DC KO.
Yeah. Oh, that's our B segment today. I forgot about that.
We can do it another time because I have to think about it.
No, we gotta pull up the bracket and go with our gut.
While it's fresh.
Anyway.
But it's just interesting that this is like part of DC All In, which like started a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, and now we got Batman number 1 a year later when you're not even thinking about it. With our new publishing initiative, 1 year later, it's time to start making some big number ones. It's just interesting to me. So, to get started with the first surprise, with Commissioner Gordon, he's just Officer Gordon now. he's talking with his partner, and they're just like, you know, whatever, normal cop drinking coffee, whatever. And suddenly there's a big crash above them, and a big shadowy figure is jumping away out of this building, smashes its way through, and he's like, okay, I've been a cop long enough. I know you always call for backup. And then it just cuts to Batman looking good in the gray and blue, just like getting pretty tired of this. But they're in Arkham, which I guess is a tower now.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
It seems that the killer croc, something happened with him, and he just busted out of the facility, which is very funny that this is like a Batman killer croc story, because Batman killer croc is also what we're having in Absolute Batman right now. A little bit, just like I talked about it last time I talked about Absolute Batman. And I think not the issue that just came out, but the next one that I think comes out next week is like pretty heavily killer croc featured. So I just think that's funny that he, you know, he's one of the Batman's rogue gallery, but I wouldn't say he's like the most popular and most well-known, but it's like both these books are talking about Killer Croc right now, which I just think is interesting. But he's at Arkham. He's talking with the like therapist, scientist, whoever it is that she's like been working with.
But therapist, scientist, who's like ultimately a bad guy, right? Like we can agree on that, right?
I mean, it's entirely likely. Something's probably up.
Like, the minute they gave her that much screen time, I was like, oh, she's experimenting on them and is a villain. Okay.
Because he's, like, changing.
Yeah.
He's in pretty gnarly ways.
I just wanted to see if we both had that same reaction or not.
I really didn't think about it, but probably if I read it again, maybe the clues would be there. I mean, these things happen for a reason.
I may be wrong.
I mean, maybe. But he's, you know, having some therapy, I suppose, and kind of goes nuts and, because his body's like changing, going through some sort of a further metamorphosis in a way, either like shedding the crockness of himself or just something. And so he kind of gets driven crazy by it and busts out of Arkham and disappears. And one thing I really like about this book, well, the art's great.
Yeah,
it's great. I think the writing's really, really good and sharp. But like this spread with like all the different news things that shows just kind of, you know, how bad Gotham is, as we all know. But I also just love these here's a little, instead of like a character blip, it's like here's the gadget that Batman's using. You know, just like all throughout the book, it's just like a real big emphasis on Batman and his toys.
Yeah, which I feel like the gadgets have been like underutilized in recent years. I guess I haven't read Batman in recent years, but like when you hear about Batman, when you like think about Batman, like I feel like his martial arts gets emphasized a lot, his like intellect gets emphasized a lot. I'm glad they're like really leaning into the gadgets, because he uses several in this.
I mean, he's a gadgeteer.
Yeah,
that's who he is.
The OG.
Get his shark repellent spray, his carousel reversal spray. He's got it all. All the sprays you could ever want. But he's tracking down Killer Croc. I really like this spread too.
Yeah,
the title, like just the title page is really good. Just the Gotham skyline in stark relief. Also Batman gliding across the city, both just all in black with sort of like a orange to blue sunset-y. I'm holding this up to the camera like our viewers can see. You can't, but you can look it up. Then we see in just another moment, I feel like I just keep reading comic books about like the militarization of the police. I remember when I was reading Power Fantasy, and it was like this unelected official is making all these sweeping changes in the government, a foreign man no less. And it's just like, this is feeling real bad.
It's almost like that's on people's mind.
But Vandal Savage is like, these are our new super cops, basically. And if you encounter any like super criminal activity, don't do anything, just call these guys because they're super cops.
You like how it like zoomed in on the fact that they have completely masked faces?
Yeah. Yeah, what a nice touch.
It was so on the nose that I loved it.
There's no such thing as accountability in authoritarianism. Yeah, I'm just laughing to stop from crying.
Laughing to stop from crying.
Then Batman's in his car with apparently the ghost of Alfred, which is news to me. I was like, oh, he's got an Alfred hologram. That's fun. No.
I don't think it's his ghost, though. I think it's like...
Well, no, it's a psychological ghost. I mean, what are ghosts, Chance, if not a psychological imprint upon the person?
In a world where a ghost is a superhero that possesses people,
I suppose that's ghost true.
Enemies, I think it's this is actually the soul of Alfred, or if it's just Batman hallucinating Alfred.
Maybe hallucinating is a strong word.
Sure.
You know, maybe he's hallucinating.
I mean, he seems to be aware that he's not there.
I really like the Bat car. Batmobile. Why'd I call it a Bat car? Am I an idiot?
It's a good Batmobile.
Do I know anything? I might be an idiot, dear listener. But the Batmobile, it looks cool. But they're going to... he's playing a hunch, he says. But then they hear that there's a call for all... officers to report to this location, and these real creepy street punks are chasing these two girls through the park
with scissors
saying snip snip. It's not good. Don't do this, people. But then Batman runs them over with his car.
non-lethally,
because the thing about it is, and I've thought about this and I've read about this, because these days, you know, trucks are big, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of cars are just like taller. And so if you're hit by said car, the center of gravity is higher. And so it's hitting you higher, which is going to push you down to be crushed by the car or drugged by the car or just run over by the car. But the Batmobile is low, right? So when he hits these guys, they go over the car. It's not going to feel good. They're not going to, you know, They're gonna be uncomfortable the next day, but they're not gonna be run over.
Yeah.
So sure. That's smart of Batman. All I'm saying, he can non-lethally hit someone with his car because he's Batman, I guess. But he saves these girls.
That's the thing about it.
He's Batman. But he saves the girls. He tells the Bat car to like watch over them. Why do I keep saying the Bat car?
I don't know, man.
What the hell's wrong with me?
You love the Bat car.
Maybe it should just be called the Bat car.
Everyone else is wrong.
Yeah. It's that meme where Goku and Vegeta are like fist bumping going into everyone else. I'm gonna take on the world. It's called the Bat car now. Look at me.
They didn't have a blurb for it in the book, so how are we supposed to know?
Yeah, they never say. They just assume that we're supposed to know. Maybe it is called the Bat car now. You know,
the Batmobile's the other one.
Yeah, this is a different one. But he goes to the Natural History Museum, is all I'm saying. And the mental ghost of Alfred is with him. He's not a hologram, people. But he's using some more bat gadgets. We could call them bat gadgets. Basically likes to track the signature of Killer Croc. And so he finds him. He's ready to just do battle. He's got his bat gauntlets, which are like electric gloves, and he's ready to just fight this guy. He sends the security guards away. Killer Croc's ready for a fight. And it doesn't end that way. It doesn't end with a big fight. Killer Croc is like distressed. The whole argument of this is Batman's like, people don't change. So he's like, if the Killer Croc is out there, he's going to do his thing. But Killer Croc's just like sitting there looking at the T-Rex. And it's like, what if something's like happening to him? And like in just this moment, he's like a child who's all alone. And he's looking for like that bigger thing. He's like a crocodile looking up to a T-Rex. And he's just scared. And the ghost of Alfred is like, surely you can relate to that. Being that lonely child. And so Batman just like takes his mask off. Sits down next to Killer Croc, and
that was the weirdest part for me.
Yeah, it was. I don't know why he took the mask off.
Yeah,
that was kind of weird. But just sitting down and like talking to him,
yeah,
I was very pleased by it. And I feel like it's a theme in, not really a theme in any of the comic books that I read. I just feel like it's a theme of stories that I'm enjoying right now. Is this like let's. Not like let's talk it out and solve our problems that way, but it's like not everything just needs to be punched.
Yeah.
And in this case, if he had fought Killer Croc, it could have gone really bad. But he like sits with him. It is funny when Killer Croc burps. He's like, "I ate the zoo." Yeah. And Batman's like, "I know, buddy."
That was the hunch, right? Is that the hunch he was playing was that Croc would go to the zoo to eat?
Uh-huh. Yeah, to eat the things. But then the Arkham people come to take him away. They bring Killer Croc like a toy dinosaur. And it's like, "You're not a bad guy. You made a bad choice. Now you can make a good choice." And they're taking him away. And he's like, Killer Croc's like, "She's going to help me. But Batman, who's going to help you?" And he's like, "Don't worry, I'm okay." And he's like, "If you say so." But then he gives him the toy, like the toy dinosaur. And then he puts it in his new bat cave, like the old bat cave with the giant dinosaur. But then he gets a call from Robin. And Robin is in trouble. He's standing over a criminal, but then the police are behind him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Tim, too.
Yeah, it kind of looks... It's the same... It's that color scheme of Tim.
Yeah. And it's not the...
Because Damian Wayne has, like, the hood.
Yeah.
I feel like he has green in his, but Tim has the, you know, just the red and yellow and black.
Yeah, and he normally has the scowl.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, we might have some Tim.
I'm here for that.
I can't read a Killer Croc story anymore without remembering the lead-up to the New 52 ruined one of my favorite characters of all time, Roy Harper, the original Speedy slash Arsenal slash eventually Red Arrow.
Uh-huh.
But there was this story right when the end started to happen, when Arsenal Red Arrow was still really good, where he goes into the sewers and you think he's getting attacked by Killer Croc, but it turns out that Killer Croc and him are AA buddies. and they like chat about how they've been doing and how they've been laying off the sauce. it's a really heartwarming little story about Arsenal's former addiction and Killer Croc's former addiction and
mm-hmm.
how they support each other in it, even if they're on opposite sides of the law.
How sweet.
It was. It's a really great story.
You love to see it.
So I will always have a soft spot for Killer Croc because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was my number one. I think partly it was my number one because all my other books have been my number ones before. And not that they necessarily couldn't have been, but I wanted to talk about something new.
Yeah.
That I think is really worth checking out. And it's like a good time to jump on and check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. My number one is kind of a number one for a similar reason. This is a weird week for me. I had, was it 4 out of 5 for all number ones? No, 3 out of 5. 3 out of my 5 were all number ones. Our comic book store didn't get Marvel books on Wednesday when I was there. So like they had like half the stock that they normally did, but I had like 7 books in my hand. I was like, what's happening?
That explains why Uncanny X-Men wasn't there. But I just went to the other comic book store and picked it up because last time they also didn't have it because he sold out. Oh, so okay. I was just like, he must have sold out, so I'll just go pick it up.
No, their Marvel books didn't come. I went up there and asked, and they're like, "You don't read much Marvel, do you?" I was like, "You seem to have a low stock." And they're like, "You don't read much Marvel, do you?" And I was like, "No, why?" And they're like, "Because the DC people aren't realizing that we didn't get our Marvel shipment in." I've been reading Marvel. I've read Daredevil, read Thor, but no, mm-hmm. I didn't have this. I didn't have any Marvel slated for this week, I don't think. Yeah, it was a weird week for me. Kind of one where, no, I didn't really have a book I wanted to be my number one, my best book. Just because all of them I thought were pretty fine. Well, actually, one of them I actively disliked, but we'll get to that in book blurbs. But I decided to go with The Adventures of Superman, the Book of L, number one. Mostly because I don't think I've ever read a Philip Kennedy Johnson book. And I know he's a big deal now. But this is written by Philip Kennedy Johnson with art by Scott Godlowski. Sure, why not?
If not, it should be.
If it's not, it should be. So, yeah, I'm starting another Superman book. What can I say? He's always been one of my favorites. And they've just got really good people on Superman books right now. So I saw it was Philip Kennedy Johnson. I was hoping it's not a miniseries, and I still don't know the answer to that. This has a lot of weird it has a lot of weird parallels to the Batman book. Like, it starts in a place that is familiar yet also very confusing. For example, it starts by telling the story of this guy who I guess was part of a big war world story arc recently. That's hard to say, war world. But I guess he was a Kryptonian who was enslaved by a Mongol and went on a big adventure with Superman, but also kind of hates Superman. I don't know. They kind of had a frenemy thing going on. But he is looking for some relics that are part of a god, because if he gets the relics that are part of a god, he can be a god himself and remake the world as it should be. So, you know, pretty standard stuff. But then it cuts to Smallville, where Superman and his family are visiting the Kents. And I'm a sucker for all of this. There's two new kids. I don't know what their deal is. Maybe they're twins. They seem to at least be the same age. It looks like a guy and a girl. Maybe. I don't really know. But their names are Ozul and Otho. And they are calling Clark and Lois mom and dad. And they're calling them their children. I don't know if it's an adopted situation. I don't really know. But it seems like they were rescued from War World in such a way. And the boy, again, I think it's a boy, Ozul, seems to have died. And one of the relics that this other Kryptonian is looking for brought him back. Again, we're at a number one, but you kind of need the context that I don't have, unfortunately, to kind of go into it. But even without that context, you just see Superman being a really good dad. Like, he's teaching them to plant flowers in Ma Kent's flower bed. And it flashes back. He stops them from fighting over whether or not the seeds are planted well enough. And he gets a flashback of his dad leaning down and telling him, like, the thing about flowers is they just... And then it cuts back to him, and he's leaning over them just like Pa Kent leaned over him. And he finishes the statement, they just know how to grow.
They do know how to grow.
So it's just a really sweet moment. Ma Kent doesn't want Jonathan to fix a fence because Clark's there and he can just do it easier and safer. And Pa's like, I can do it. I'm just not as fast as I used to be. And Lois is having Ma help her with adjectives for her article. So it's just like a real sweet moment. Jonathan Kent is like floating around playing with the kids. I don't know if the kids have powers. They have superhero names. Their names are Red Sun and Star Child, but maybe they can fly. That might be them flying in that scene. I'm not sure. But it's just like half this book is like this real sweet family moment. And then as they do, I'm not even going to try to say this word, alien invaders come out of portals and drop wailing spikes into the ground, which are spikes that scream. So
screaming spikes.
Yeah. The kids go with, Ma and Pa and Lois, to hide, and Jonathan and, Clark start just doing what they do, breaking the chains that are attached to the spikes. Jonathan throws the ships back through the portals. But then they both get kind of beaten down, and it's the guy from the beginning is doing the beating. And he's basically saying, like, he is leading an invasion. He's gotten more of that power, and now he wants all of it, including the piece of it that's in their son. He flies in and gets Red Sun. This is where you learn that the piece of him brought him back. But then he does something weird. Superman punches him, and he catches the punch, and he says, like, you have your part to play, but not yet. And Superman disappears in, like, a blue flash. And it cuts to long from now, and I have no idea what's going on in this scene. Like, it looks like a city that's in ruins and people in cloaks walking through it. There's an alien... but then some, like, superpowered people calling themselves the Summermen are like, we're here for that alien, give it to us. And they're scared. They don't know what they're going to do. And Superman appears out of a blue flash and stops them. And I believe it is the guy who was protecting the little kid in that who's been narrating this whole time and says, people, there's always been talk of Superman surviving the initial invasion, that he's hiding somewhere or regaining his power or was sent to a different reality. But we all need him to be around. And then it ends with, maybe not because we really need him, but because, where is it? Of course, this belief was driven not by any reliable evidence, but by hope. Excerpt from the Book of El. And then it cuts to a few pages from the Book of El. That's like the big to be continued. But it cuts to a few pages, and it's Kara, Supergirl's journal, as she chronicles the invasion, that where Clark, apparently they didn't just attack Smallville, they attacked the poles, Moscow, Paris, Metropolis, Beijing. She does have one little thing here. She's like, there are rumors of a 10th invasion fleet over Gotham, but those ships blew up and Gotham became a harbor of safety. But then it cuts to 31 days of occupation, and it seems like they've mostly lost, and the super people are trying to find help outside of Earth now. And then there's another page that is very confusing to me, but it basically chronicles, I think we are several hundred years in the future after this invasion when Clark reappears, because it chronicles like, these people had this kid and he did this, and he, and then there was Brandon Kent, the last Superman of Earth, and the Great Temple that was once Smallville City Hall, and so there's like a legacy of supermans. And I'm interested. I'm intrigued. From the very obvious setup of like the family having a good time and then an alien invasion, I didn't expect like Superman would be sent to a future that in a lot of ways he was kind of shaped by.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just think it was really cool. It was backstory. But most of that backstory was kind of ancillary to what seems like is going to be the main story going forward. So I kind of feel like in a lot of ways this hit all the same things that the Batman book hit.
Mm-hmm.
Just with
Superman.
Yeah, it's really good. I highly recommend you pick it up. Just know that you might not understand the status quo. This War World story seems pretty cool, though. I might want to go check it out.
It seems, just looking up, doing a quick Google search, it seems like that like was like 2023.
Okay.
Like all when all of that went down in our time.
Okay. It was 2023 when the big War World thing happened.
Uh-huh.
It's weird because I've been reading a lot of super books lately. I've been reading Supergirl, Action Comics, Superman, and I've picked up a lot of like random super books here and there. This is the first I've heard of these two kids. So I just don't know where they are in the other stories.
Convenient.
Huh?
It's like Morgan and Boy Meets World. They're just like over there.
Yeah. And they very possibly could have been in scenes. And I was like, oh, there's random kids there. I wonder who they are. That could have happened.
You just had no idea.
But Superman is a good time to get into Superman. Honestly, grab this book. Grab Superman Unlimited. You wouldn't be that far behind. We've got some spoiler warning. We've got some fan mail coming. And one of it's like getting into DC Comics. It's a real good time to get into Superman comics.
Way to spoil it for me.
I'll read the whole thing to you later.
Fine. Okay. Now we're going to get into book blurbs.
Mm-hmm.
I have four books left.
I have three because you
three because I already did one. So I'll do one and we'll just go back and forth.
Yeah. There.
Okay. So first up is Rockefeller's number 8 by Peter J. Tomasi, Francis Manapul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still having a lot of fun with it. Sort of the we're seeing some of the more inner workings of like what the Time Witness Protection Program looks like, and just like more of their life before they came back or went back in time, from kind of what they were running from. I think the next issue is really, it seems to be going to be the climax of kind of this little 3-issue arc, kind of detailing what happened. And so it's just been interesting to kind of see everything laid out. And so, yeah, it's fun.
Love it. My almost pick of the week is Captain Planet number 4. It's still really great. I love how they're kind of tackling, they really kind of tackle, like, I'm going to say something a little loaded. The promise of conservatism, like wealth can solve the world's problems. But ultimately, like, it always turns out being bad because wealth just wants more wealth.
Uh-huh. Effective altruism, Chance.
Yeah. Yeah. Effective altruism. The real thing that bummed me out about this book is we are in issue 4. It's kind of the opposite of my Power Rangers Prime problem. We're in issue 4 of what I think is an ongoing series. If it's not, like, the team hasn't really even, like, fully come together yet. Like, a big part of this issue is that the team isn't together. And it ends with, spoiler warning, the reveal of Captain Pollution, which is, like, Captain Planet's biggest enemy. I'm like, it is way too early for that. That's they've become too comfortable in the status quo, and now we need to up the uh-huh. ante to the next thing, and make them question their place in the world. It is way too early for that. Maybe it'll still be good. I still intend to get issue 5, but wow, I can't believe we're already there.
Next up for me is Uncanny X-Men number 20.
Ooh.
With the Rogue cover.
Yeah, I see.
Rogue,
it.
Being very roguey. This, I just feel like there's just some really nice character work in this issue. Gail Simone and Luciano Vecchio are just doing great work. Still trying to figure out what's going on in Gray Malkin Prison, which is the former X mansion that's being used as a prison for mutants.
Wasn't that where Xavier was being held?
Yes. But so that's still, that was a weird, I didn't really like that arc. So it's just like still kind of in the background, something's going on there. But we have this is a story focused a lot on, what does he call himself? Ransom. I kept wanting to call him Black Hole because his power is essentially has a black hole where his heart should be. And he's just an energy absorber, and putting it back, but like any energy. So it's like he gets hit, he hits back with the energy of that hit.
I mean, one of my favorite characters is Zorn, and his head is a black hole, right? Isn't that Zorn?
I have no idea.
I have to look.
But there's just really nice moments. Like, there's the character Jitter. I know I've talked about her. She, in the books, has a stutter. And Rogue, takes her aside at the beginning of the book and is talking to her about it. And just like, hey, I know, a speech pathologist, because I thought for a long time that I should see one about the way I talk. And she's like, do I have to go? She's like, no, but I just want you to know that it's a choice for you. Like, if you want to do that, and get help in this way. And she's just like, no one's ever asked me what I wanted. No one's ever asked me if I wanted to make a choice before. So thank you. And I just thought that was really nice. But it's mostly a Ransom and Wolverine story as they're going to, I want to say Brazil, and, fighting some guys down in Brazil. But I think the next issue comes out in 2 weeks, which is a bit of a bummer.
Why?
Because I don't like double shipping.
Oh.
It just throws off the budget.
Are they double shipping, or are they trying to get it on a new day?
I don't know. Because I don't know what the goal is, but it's coming, the next one's coming out in 2 weeks.
Nice. Zorn's power, is not, his head his head is a sentient miniature star that he can choose to collapse into a black hole.
You see, that's totally different.
Zorn's always been one of my favorite mutants. And he's just, because he's, wears the mask and he looks cool. I'm showing you.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does look cool. Sorry, I was trying to see when the next Uncanny, what? It's the next issue, then there's nothing left after.
Oh, are they canceling Uncanny?
Maybe they are. That makes me sad.
I think they're about to do another
X-Men. They're doing a big X-Men reset, but it's just a bummer. This issue sounds really fun, though. The Wolverine Ransom two-fisted team-up takes a definite weird turn as our baddest heroes chase a classic X-Men villain to, of all places, a comic book convention in beautiful Argentina. How do they find and eliminate their target in a sea of masked cosplayers? What if some of the cosplayers are actual villains they are portraying?
That does sound fun.
It's just kind of fun. I'm bummed, though, that it seems like it might be ending.
Well, they might be just restarting with another number one. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, I was a little interested in the X event, and then I wasn't. I might be again. Who knows? Who knows? I forget what it's called. Are you good? Should I go? Yeah. Or are you looking
it up? You go. I'm just looking it up, and I'm sad about it.
My next book is the worst named book of the week. I got it because it's two of my favorite video game franchises getting shoved together.
Uh-huh.
Well, classic favorite. I have not played either of these in years and years, but I used to love them both. Darkstalkers Street Fighter Blood Throne number one. You may be asking, why is this the worst named book? Because there's no Street Fighter in this at all. which the end of the book comments on in kind of this fun little funny pages thing where they're like, why are we on the title of this when we're not in it? Like, we're popular.
That's fair.
Shouldn't we be in the book? But this is just kind of a fun story, mostly centering around Morrigan, who is the classic main Darkstalkers character. And there's a big invasion going on, so she wants to lead the Darkstalkers into battle, but she also has to be queen. So she transfers her queenliness over to her sister Lilith, so that she can be free to go fight, because Lilith is kind and Morrigan is strong. And that's pretty much all that happens. We see all the classic Darkstalker characters, get a few of the classic rivalries, but that's pretty much all that happens in this book. Again, it's another one. It's like, it's a fun start, but I need to see more.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to know why the Street Fighters are on the cover.
Doesn't make any sense.
Did you
say it's called Blood Throne?
Blood Throne, yes. Okay. Darkstalkers X Street Fighter Blood Throne, number one.
X Street Fighter minus Street Fighter.
Yes. Without Street Fighter actually in it. But yeah, it's a... I loved playing both Darkstalkers and Street Fighter as a kid, and this the art really spoke to me on the cover. It's a good kind of fun anime classic video game cover.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wanting to pick it up.
You're there.
I might thumb through the next one before I actually buy it. We'll see. But it was great fun if you like Darkstalkers. I never knew any of like the Darkstalkers lore. I just played the games a little. So that was kind of fun to learn.
Yeah. So I will tell you my next book, but when I just opened, because this one has a variant cover on it because it was all that they had. But there's some DC Spicy Pumpkin variant covers coming this fall. And I actually need you to see this Nightwing one.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, his butt just looks like a pumpkin. He's got pumpkin butt.
Nightwing's the butt guy. I don't know how he became the guy, but he is.
He is. And so that's just funny. I have no real intentions of picking up Nightwing 130, but, you know.
But.
If that's your thing.
But, you know. But.
But. But my actual book is Absolute Superman number 11. There are. There might be a butt in it, actually. No. Close.
0.5 of a butt.
Yes. I mean, there could be a butt. This one is really interesting, especially just the same way that it was like very interesting that Batman number one and Absolute Batman are both doing like a Killer Croc thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was very similar to Absolute Batman number 10, because in this book, Superman's been captured and Ra's al Ghul is basically trying to brainwash him to be like his son so that he can take over the world with Superman at his side. As like the son of the demon. And so in this issue, Brainiac is like, has Superman locked down. And it's like basically like doing the brainwashing. So he's just like making him live these atrocities and enact these atrocities over and over and over again. And we just see Superman going through all of this. And in the end, he's like not succumbing to it.
Right.
Like he is convincing all of the other Brainiacs that they're being mistreated and they don't need to listen to Brainiac One. And like, but he's like talking to them in that way. And then in the end, it seems like,
we can get a real doc situation.
Maybe so. You know, Brainiac Two. Rebels was so good. Rebels was so good. So we'll see. It kind of goes nutso at the end. And I'm just like, I wonder if it just feels like in some ways, maybe is it undercutting the messaging of what it's doing with the way that it ends? And it sets up like, is Superman about to go crazy and kill all the bad guys? Because that's very un-Superman.
He's probably not.
Probably not. But it just was like, I feel like we're doing a lot of work to not end up at this point. And now we're kind of seeming like we're at this point. So, you know, we'll see. But it was good. I just thought it was very interesting that we had a very similar, like, psychological deconstruction of
the main character.
The main character, like, in this, say, about just about the same issue.
Nice. My last one, and maybe the last time I pick it up, we'll see, is Tex Arcanum, number 2. I kind of have the same problem with it that I had last time. What if we interject a whole bunch of magical words into normal stuff? Like, in this one, he kind of gives his whole, like, family line. And he's like, my parents were, or my great-great-great-grandparents were just two people who met and fell in love. But magic. And their child was just a man who went out of his way and fell in love. But Shiva blessed it because it's magic. And it... I think that's what this book is going for. And this one, which he did not in the last one, he now has a dog. But his dog is the Navajo god Coyote for some reason. But that never actually, like, plays into the book. He's just like, ah, but he's also Coyote. But he's also my dog.
You know how it is.
And I feel like we got to an interesting, like, an almost interesting place where it rained in one spot. In like a 50-acre spot for 36 days straight, and the rain cloud never moved. And it turns out it was the son of a Native American weather caller who now uses his like weather calling powers for like assassinations. And he tries when he starts looking for him, he like the weather caller tries to kill him, but he has the sword of Zeus, so he absorbs all of his lightning, and he's like, sword of Zeus, given to me randomly for finishing a job. I thought there was an 80% chance it was a fake, but here we are. And again, that kind of annoyed me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I haven't known you long enough to know that you're just like the gadget guy. And then they have this talk about how like the reservation is really crappy, and his mom, dad, and grandpa, who all took care of him, all, like, died tragically because of, like, injustices in the system. And I feel like they're about to do something interesting with it. And he's like, yeah, but you still shouldn't be an assassin. And that's kind of where it ends. Like, okay. And then they fight a banshee, and then it ends. I don't know. I was just kind of like... I feel like it keeps trying to get to interesting places. This book is a continuation of the feud that starts in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't really said anything about the feud except like if you keep feuding with people, more and more people get hurt. Okay. And I feel like they think they're being like really clever with like, well, in my experience, it's more werewolves and selkies, you know, instead of. But I'm not charmed by it.
Uh-huh.
It kind of feels like world building that I would write on a first draft.
Yes, it's like, well, I'm going to write something here so I can come back and write something better.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, again, just like Darkstalkers, I might thumb through issue 3. It's only 4 issue series, so maybe I'll finish it. I don't know. But right now, it's just not doing it for me.
Bummer. Well, my last book certainly did it for me. But I didn't make it my best book because it's actually a few weeks old because they sold out. And the next one comes out next week, and that's Absolute Batman 11, which is sort of just the story of Bane in this universe. And I just, it was just really well told and interesting, and then extremely like brutal. And then it's a little bit of a fake out at the end, but in a way that's like very pleasing. And just seeing some of the other things that have happened in the Absolute universe, like what might just be start coming about in the next issue because of the way this book ended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll just see what happens. But I'm predicting that many of Bruce's other friends who are famous villains shall be turned into such, sort of against their will, the same way that Killer Croc was turned, or Waylon Jones was turned into Killer Croc by those wacky guys at Arkham.
They're not wacky, they're jerks.
Them and their mad science.
It's always the maddest of science. Okay, I guess that is it. Anything else we need to cover?
Nope, that was all.
All right. Well, we're going to insert a fake break here.
BRB. We're A and we're B.
Yeah, we're B. We did it. I think our B segment, we're gonna do a grab bag of thing. Trying to get this one. Oh, that's... I was pulling up the bracket for DCKO, and you know how those messages come up when you're using an ad blocker? It's like, hey, you're using an ad blocker. This doesn't support us. Please support us. The buttons were enable ads or choose not to support us.
I choose not to support you.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what how you want to say it, I guess. At least you made me feel bad about it. Don't work with scummy advertisers, and I might support you. But yes, real quick, I just want to go over the matchups for DCKO, and then let's all take a week and come up with our brackets. We'd really love it if you guys out in Listenerville would fill out a bracket too, and we'll just see which of our listeners gets the closest. You can email us, hotcomicpools@gmail.com, or take a picture of it and send it to us on Blue Sky, comicpalooza.bsky.social. Is that it?
Uh-huh.
But yeah, let's just go over the matchups. We don't have to start picking. We'll tell our picks in a week,
mm-hmm.
and we'll kind of read the picks of anyone who sent in a bracket.
Okay. Do you want me to read them? I have them.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll do like one quarter, and maybe we can alternate quarters.
Okay, yeah, you do the top quarter. I'll do the Aquaman quarter.
Okay, so first we have Superman versus Giganta. Then Captain Atom versus Power Girl. Guy Gardner against Firestorm. And Jay Garrick against Cheetah.
What's your matchup of the quarter there?
Of those four?
Mm-hmm.
That I think will be the best?
Yeah, like the
more of those... I'm ready to see Guy Gardner and Firestorm go at it.
Yeah, that really is the one, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Captain Atom versus a Kryptonian, we've seen that. Jay Garrick versus Cheetah, yeah, maybe. But yeah, Guy Gardner versus Firestorm, that's got to be a creative
fight. It's interesting that regular Flash isn't on here.
It is interesting that regular Flash isn't on here. There's not another Green Lantern on here, is there?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, there's some interesting choices here for sure. Okay, I'll do the Aquaman quarter. Aquaman versus King Shark, which always fun. Connor Hawke, the son of Green Arrow, who's never really taken a superhero name, which is just that's an interesting person to put in this to me, versus Hawkman.
Hawk battle.
Uh-huh. Lex Luthor versus Black Lightning. And the Demon Etrigan versus Supergirl. What's the matchup there?
I think the one I'm most looking forward to is Etrigan and Supergirl.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big Connor Hawke fan, and I'm a big Hawkman fan, so I'm looking forward to that one. But that Etrigan and Supergirl would be my second there.
This is fun. So our next set of matchups, we've got Wonder Woman versus Starro. I'm assuming like the big guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll have to see Lobo versus Plastic Man, Swamp Thing against Vixen, and Cyborg versus Batwoman. And I got to say, my matchup that I'm looking forward to is Lobo Plastic Man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one, right? I don't see a world where Vixen stands a chance against Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing versus Cyborg, I think, would be a really fun fight.
Uh-huh.
So I hope that kind of comes to fruition. I'm gonna take a quick detour. Cameron and I talk about a comic book series a lot that we both loved a great deal. I was kind of hoping that the Rebels Starro mythology would become like the quintessential, absolute, this is true Starro mythology.
Mm-hmm.
With Starro the Conqueror as like a bigger thing, because he was such a cool villain. I'm really disappointed that it hasn't done that.
Rebels was really good.
Rebels was really good. And that was kind of the same era where we got the redefining of the Flash and Green Lantern mythologies. Kind of updated. I mean, you see constant TikTok and Reels clips now of people being like, the greatest hater in all of comics is the Reverse Flash. He did blah, 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 blah. All these things that are just like, because he's a hater. It's like, yeah. But all of that was established, like, right in that 2000.
Yeah, Flash Rebirth.
Yeah, like, that's not, like, classically his thing. Don't get me wrong, I love it. I think it's much better this way.
And everyone knows Superboy Prime is the real hater.
Yeah, Superboy Prime is the hater. He's also from that time period, though.
Yeah, because that was Infinite Crisis.
Uh-huh. So I'm just like, man, Starro the Conqueror was such an interesting character. And like the way he played on the old Starro mythology, but kind of like humanized it as well. I just thought it was so much more interesting than any random Starro. So I say all that to say, I wish this was Starro the Conqueror versus Wonder Woman. But no one remembers that Rebels run but us. So
we're the only two in the whole world. If anyone's out there and you remember, you don't.
I tweeted at the writer. Who was it? Was it? You look it up. I'll read the next bracket. Batman versus Star Sapphire. The Red Hood versus Damian Wayne, Zatanna versus Big Barda, Harley Quinn versus Metamorpho.
Tony Bedard.
Yes. Yes, I tweeted at him a while back, and he said that was one of his favorite runs he had ever worked on.
Good work, Tony. Come on the show.
Yeah. Can you get? Is that run collected anywhere, or would you have to find singles to find it?
I don't know.
I'll see if it's on the DC app. I knew it wasn't for a very long time.
I'm seeing it on Goodreads. There is collected, I think it's in 5 volumes.
Yeah, you probably would only need maybe the first 2 to get through Starro, right?
Perhaps.
The whole thing was great, but that first Starro the Conqueror arc was something special.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure when that arc was. Like what all it encompasses. My pick that I really want to see is Red Hood and Damian Wayne.
Yeah, that's a great one. I am interested to see also how they pretend that Batman versus Star Sapphire is a fight. She's just so much more powerful than him. If he can't come up with a strategy months in advance to take her down, I just don't know what.
See, what you don't understand is he already does.
Oh, he already knows it.
He doesn't even know he's in this competition, but he knows how to do it.
So Cameron and I will announce what we think our brackets are next week. I've already told him we need to do a bracket where Superman wins and a bracket where he doesn't.
I'll have him lose in the first round to Giganta. There's all the drama gone. He doesn't fight Lex Luthor in the end.
Well, he can't fight Lex Luthor in the end. He can only fight Lex Luthor
at the end of that side of things.
Yeah, I think there's like two ways this goes, right? Superman goes all the way to the end and I guess fights Batman?
Feels a bit boring.
Yeah, that would be weird. Or I think there is a thing where like Superman loses round 2 and Batman loses to Star Sapphire and they do stuff in the background while the other fight is going on.
And it's all up to Connor Hawke to save the day.
It's all up to Connor Hawke.
It's his time to shine.
You know whose time to shine it is? I mean, Connor's never really had a time to shine, so it could be his. But, man, Etrigan. Etrigan needs to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I want to hear how he rhymes about it.
Yes. I love Etrigan. He's so good. But, yes, that's those are our brackets. Send us yours. You could email us, or you could...
reach out on Blue Sky.
Blue Sky. Anyway, I think that would be good. All right.
Looking to see if anybody has reached out on Blue Sky. As you said, we had some listener mail.
We do. Let me pull that up.
We have not.
Okay. So our listener mail is from... oh, no. Oh, there it is. Okay. Thought I got logged out of it. All right. This is from... I know I pronounce your last name wrong every single time. But Brad Cutts, K-U-T-Z, or Brad K from PA. Maybe we should just cut out his last name.
Good old Brad K from PA.
Yeah, maybe just bleep out his last name when you edit.
I'm going to forget. I'm going to be honest.
Okay, well, we doxed you. Sorry, Brad K from PA.
Everyone knows you're in Pennsylvania.
Sorry to dox you. But he says, it's been a while since I wrote, just wanted to check in. I'm loving your picks and book blurbs. I'm currently reading Vision and Scarlet Witch, which is a title I dropped, unfortunately. Magic, which is a title I dropped but didn't want to drop. Moon Knight and DuckTales. And he's loving all of them. He wants to get our take on the newer DC compact books. You've seen those, right?
Uh-huh.
And any suggestions you have for Batman and Superman book. He said he's read the Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Static, and Kingdom Come ones, and he doesn't know what other ones are worth it. He says his DC knowledge is lacking and wondering if we have any suggestions. And then he says he loves the pod, and we do great work.
We love you, Brad K. from PA.
Yeah, who we've now doxed. But we do love you. So... I was looking through the Disney compact books.
Disney?
DC. Did I say Disney?
You did.
And I don't think there's a ton of just great, specifically Batman and Superman ones. They have the Court of Owls saga, which I do love the Court of Owls saga.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think Scott Snyder just really does Batman really well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the New 52 kind of fresh restart, but just really leans into the Bat mythos in such a good way.
Yeah, it's a good one. And Jeff Loeb, when he writes Superman and Batman, is pretty amazing. So there's a Superman Batman like collected edition by Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness. I think that one would also be good. It wouldn't help you get a sense of like any kind of DC mythology, but Superman Red Sun is collected, which is just a classic story anyone should read.
Mm-hmm. I also see that they have Batman Hush. I know Hush 2 is out right now, and I'm not reading Hush 2 because I find it to be silly, but I enjoyed Batman Hush. It's just, especially as like a tour through all of Batman's villains.
Yeah, it's a pretty defining. It kind of defined the Gotham City Sirens in some weird ways. So it's defining to read for sure.
Mm-hmm. All-Star Superman.
Yeah, All-Star Superman. Every Superman thing tries a little bit to be All-Star Superman anymore. But is that in one of the compacts?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. I'm just on Amazon.
They did a second. I'm looking at DC's page itself.
Okay, that's probably more.
So those are good. I also just saw, what did I see? DC, The New Frontier. Did you ever read that?
Yeah, I love The New Frontier.
Yeah, they have a copy of The New Frontier, which is just wonderful. Feels very like old school,
mm-hmm.
very classic.
The DC New Frontier kind of gives you a glimpse.
And it just came out. It came out on August 5th.
Oh, did it just come out? Well, that might be a great one to start with, honestly, because the New Frontier is kind of a glimpse into the ideal DC world, like without artist interpretation, like just with like kind of Silver Age fun. I would say it kind of gives you a glimpse into what the ideal DC world, if that makes any sense. But yeah, The New Frontier is a great place to start. I know that if you're mostly asking about the DC compacts, but it does sound like you have a local comic book store, a local comic book scene. What is the book called? I read it every month. But it's the history of the DC universe, or the definitive history, or whatever, that I'm reading right now. What'd you say?
The new history of the DCU.
Yeah, something like that. It really is quite good. For people like me, I get to be like, ooh, look at that. Ooh, look at that. But even like, if you don't know, it can give you a pretty definitive mythology for it.
Oh, it looks like in October, Batman The Long Halloween is coming.
It has never been my favorite, but it is very classic.
It's a classic Two-Face story. Mm-hmm. I read it once many years ago and enjoyed it. It's a popular.
Yeah, it's one of the classic Batman being a detective stories, and I do like it for that.
You gotta have Batman being a detective. They have American Vampire. That's
yeah, American Vampire is very good. It's not Batman.
Not really DC at all.
But it's an incredible story if you just want an incredible story. Also, again, not the compacts, but they are graphic novels. The Earth One books, I don't think they're releasing anymore. But I read several of them before I kind of left comics for a while. Superman Earth One, 1 and 2, Batman Earth One, 1 and 2, Green Lantern Earth One. All of those were very good, and can really give you a sense of who DC wants the character to be in the modern age.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's 3 Superman and 3 Batman ones. And yeah, they're all just really good. I would recommend them if you just want to kind of get introduction stories. I think books like those can be really good for like, how should I feel when I'm reading a Superman story? Like, what is the general feeling that they're trying to get across to me? And I think those can be good for really getting that under your belt.
Mm-hmm. It also looks like The Flash Rebirth is coming out in March of next year. Like, we already talked about that a little bit. Unrelated, but it is it's so good.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. It kind of defined the modern rift between Wally and Barry, but I still really like.
And this is just good advice for you and for any of our listeners. Check your local library. They might have a good selection of like comics or graphic novels and trades, or they might not, but they might have stuff digitally as well. We're just like, because I mean, we just listed. I know they're collected editions that are cheaper, which is nice, but it can still like add up. But checking with your library and just being like, hey, what do you have? I'm interested in these characters. And I guarantee you they have something or can point you in the right direction to find something like that. The library is a magical place.
The library is a magical place. But yeah, I think it's really important. Both of us talked about a Superman and a Batman story where we don't have all of the backstory, but we jumped in and enjoyed them anyway. And I think it's important to know that, like, that's kind of how comics is meant to. You're kind of supposed to roll with the punches. You're kind of supposed to jump on and off of titles and be like, oh, okay, I guess this is where we are in this book. And if you're interested enough in how you got there, you can go back and read it. But pretty quick, within, I would wager a guess that when Cameron and I read Batman number 2 and Superman Book of El number 2 next month, we won't really care that Vandal Savage is the commissioner and that these two kids exist. Like, yeah, they brought up a question mark bubble for me right away. But now next week, I'll know that they exist. I'll kind of have a rudimentary idea of why they exist that way. And it's okay. I know a lot of people get kind of a completionist mindset, but that is not how comics was ever kind of meant to be enjoyed. And I struggle with it too. I have not picked up Poison Ivy or Nightwing at all lately, just because I'm struggling with that very same idea of like, well, it's in the middle. I don't know what's going on. But really, I should.
I'm scared of Dick Grayson's butt.
And I'm scared of Dick Grayson's butt. That's true.
It's just so intimidating.
But that being said.
Good one.
Don't be afraid to just jump in. Find a good jumping on point. They're doing a lot of like, right now they're doing something that I've never seen comics do, and they're recalling things number one, but also having like legacy numbering. Like I have no idea how Thor got to where he was in the Thor
book, Thor,
the Mortal Thor that I started reading last week. But that's actually kind of the fun of it. I'm sure I could be more clued in, but I don't really want to be. So just don't be afraid to like find a number one and just kind of roll with the punches is what I'm saying.
Yeah. We listed two good number ones, I think, to like jump on.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great time to jump into Superman or Batman. Superman Unlimited is a really fun Superman story that I think anyone can get involved with. Ooh, it's Superman, but there's a lot of kryptonite everywhere. What does he do?
Mm-hmm. But I do think that these compact editions, in terms of like understanding that history, maybe you won't understand everything like in the current moment, but of like gaining appreciation for the characters, that's a really great way to go too.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, it's not a fully fleshed out thought, but a lot of these more famous stories can really help you understand what you should be feeling when you read other stories of that character. Like Superman, All-Star Superman is so great because it makes you feel how important the hope and the future that Superman promises is. And if you take that into other Superman stories, you will enjoy them more.
Mm-hmm. Also, neither of us mentioned The Dark Knight Returns, and that was intentional.
Yes, and Watchmen.
I don't like The Dark Knight Returns.
No, Gen X lied to us all and made us think Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen were good, and they're not. There's value in both of them, but mostly they're just not fun, and I don't need
it. Hope that helps.
Yeah, I hope it does. I think it was a good conversation to have. All right. Well, are we on to one more thing?
I believe so. And you're up first.
Okay. My one more thing is going to be a review of something that I just did hours ago. I watched episode one, the only episode that exists right now, of Kamen Rider Zetz.
Ah.
And it's really good. They're really pulling out all the stops with this show, because this is the first time that they are broadcasting it live, to Western regions. So you can find it with English and Spanish official subtitles, not fan subbed. And it's just free on YouTube.
Oh, that's nice.
At Toku Shout, something.
Is that spelled Zetzz?
Let me look. I don't know.
Zetz.
Zetzz.
Zetz. I spelled it wrong. Zzz.
It's Toku Shout SU. I think what is happening, I'm not 100% sure. They've been a little, this is their first time doing this, so I think they're a little iffy on exactly how they're doing it. But since its premiere on, at 7:30 yesterday, 7:30 Eastern, I believe. At 7:30 Eastern, they have had a live stream going where they're just playing the episode over and over and over and over and over. So I think you can watch it. If it's anything like the way that Ultraman did theirs on Monday, the official like episode that's not part of the live stream will be up. And there's a few English voice actors already tied to the project, so there may even be dubs. We don't have any solid confirmation about dubs, but there may be dubs. But they're really going all out with this series. The premiere is very cool. You can tell it's a much higher production budget than it's had. They're definitely stylizing it much more. They're definitely treating this as like Zetts being the introduction to Kamen Rider for a Western audience. He looks a lot like... I was glad I wasn't the only one who said this, but he looks a lot like what if the classic Kamen Rider was Spider-Man? Because classically Kamen Riders have belts, but he doesn't have a belt. So his suit ends up looking much more like a Spider-Man or a Flash or a Green Lantern kind of suit, without that breakup in color.
Mm-hmm.
And the driver itself kind of becomes the classic Kamen Rider scarf. There's
it's almost like he has a Miss Congeniality sash.
Yes, yes.
He doesn't look very congenial, though.
I think it's a really slick look. I think it's really cool.
It is a nice suit.
It's kind of the classic bug suit and even kind of the classic colors of the first Kamen Rider, but with a lot of modern flair. And it looks really good in action. The first episode is really good. I mean, they do a lot of really fun camera work that I don't remember other Kamen Riders doing. Some first-person camera work. There's some good mystery. This Kamen Rider is kind of the best of both worlds. If you watch Kamen Rider, you'll know.
Hannah Montana?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Actually, not as dissimilar as you might think. The classic Kamen Rider trope is either you have the Kamen Rider that's way too cool or the one that's a total spaz.
So you're Geats / Gotchard.
Yeah, you're Geats / Gotchard. And this one, it's kind of both. In his dreams, he is a super smooth, like super cool, very Geats-esque character.
Mm-hmm. We have that in common.
Yeah, exactly. And when he's in the real world, he is like a little bumbling. Apparently, he's just very unlucky. Like they show lots of things where like he got struck by lightning and he got hit by a meteor. Just like he's just very. His sister says like you have to stop like going and doing things because you will die because you are so unlucky and God hates you.
You will be smited off the earth.
But he is attacked in his dream where he's awesome and somehow gets a driver. I won't spoil it all for you, but it's a very cool fight. He's very like very cool in it. This is the most accessible Kamen Rider may ever be. We just talked about like jumping on points, like go watch it, go enjoy it, go like you don't need to know anything that's ever come before. And they are really trying to like make this the Western introduction. The main character is obsessed with like James Bond-esque characters. His dream in life is to be like a secret agent. I just highly encourage you to watch it. It's very good. I especially highly encourage you, Cameron, to watch it.
Yes, I didn't realize it was out, but I guess it is September. So
it came out. It just came out. Like,
yeah, September's the time, you know.
It came out the 6th at 7:30 Eastern. It was a little confusing for me to figure out how to watch it because I was like, why has this live stream been going for like 24 hours? What's going on? And then I jumped in and I was like, oh, are they just now showing the episode? And then I like went back halfway and it was like basically the same part. And I'm like, oh, they're just showing the episode over and over and over and over and over and over again. Okay.
It's many views because.
So I just found the credits of one and I was like, okay, I'm just going to zoom forward until these credits are done. And that worked. So,
nice.
But yeah, Kamen Rider Zetts. It got me really excited about Kamen Rider watching it. And not having, I think Toku.Fun was not a bad place to watch, but there were lots of times the links didn't work or like
mm-hmm.
you had to go to one of those kind of sketchy sites where if you click on anything, you're going to get a really weird ad.
At best.
Yeah. So it's really nice. Just like YouTube, type it in, watch the episode.
And go. Nice.
So watch Kamen Rider. That's my suggestion to all of you.
Love that. Well, mine will be pretty quick. I finished another book this week. I did finish Babel, like right after we stopped talking about it. And I also finished Trails Through Daybreak, like the next day after we finished talking about it. So I've just completed a lot, but I finished another book too. And it is the sequel to The Tainted Cup, which I've talked about previously. It is called A Drop of Corruption by Robert Jackson Bennett. And it is still the story of these two detectives, Anna Delabra, who's sort of a Sherlock Holmes-esque character, just like this brilliant detective who is just able to like see all of these patterns and all these threads, but like to the point where she just isolates herself all the time and wears a blindfold most of the time, so she's not like overstimulated. And then kind of her constable, if you will, her deputy, who is enhanced in such a way that he remembers everything, and he kind of goes out and interviews people, observes the world. And this one was, it was just so good. Like Robert Jackson Bennett, the world that he has created is just so interesting.
Is it like Victorian?
No, it's like, it's just a completely different world. Like it's a fantasy world, but not like, like it's a lot of jungles. They're in a jungle. The last one was in a jungle, and I was like, oh, the next time maybe they won't be in a jungle. No, they were in a different jungle.
Like a forest punk?
It's hard to say. It's a jungle world.
Okay.
It's just all jungles all the time.
Aztec punk.
Perhaps. But no, I mean, in this book, it starts like as I was reading the first chapter, I was just like, oh yes, this is the one. And it's like this tax man disappears from his room. But there's a guard posted outside all night. It's like on the 30th floor of this building. The windows were never open. Nobody came in or out. There's no way that he could have disappeared. And then they find his body in the swamp, like, you know, a great distance away. Like they find pieces of his body. And it's like, we need to figure out what happened, because all of these like pieces of the kingdom are like hinging on this man and his crew being there. And why is he dead? And then it just like really spirals out, where they're kind of up against this sort of mad genius,
in the forest
or in the jungle. And there's some mountains, mountains, if you will. You know, it's just, I love the characters, like the main characters, the detective duo, your Sherlock Holmes character. I just think she's just so well written and like funny, rude, obscene at times. You just want to like cheer for them. And I just feel like both books, the mystery is just so well done. And like the pieces are there in many cases. Like you just like don't even realize that you've encountered the things. And then it's like, oh, there it was. So it's just like very smartly written, like mystery and smartly written, like world building. Mm-hmm. So you should check it out.
Yeah. I've got
you Chance should, but then also
I bought the book. I, to my great shame, have not finished a book this year yet.
This whole year?
This whole year.
Chance.
Yeah. I think the stuff going on in the world just keeps distracting me.
Maybe that's why I have read so many.
Yeah, I'm normally a very prolific reader, but to my shame,
I'm at 47 books this year.
Yeah, to my shame, I haven't done one. I am generally a one or two book a month guy, so 47 would be a lot for me. But I normally read probably 30-ish books in a year.
I think we must be taking opposite approaches to the dystopia.
Yeah, I kind of focus on it until I can't anymore, and then I've been using anime and Persona 3 to escape from it. I also haven't finished a video game in over a year.
Wow.
I think Persona 3 will be the one that I finish, though.
I've finished several of those as well.
I'm very into them. I'm just having trouble focusing.
That makes sense.
But yeah, so it is my great shame, but I have not finished a book this year. I've got to do House in the Cerulean Sea. My wife loves that book. She wants me to read it so bad. So that's my goal is to finish. I got to restart it because I forgot everything. But House in the Cerulean Sea.
I finished 12 games this year.
Oh, wow.
Half of those were Final Fantasy 1 through 6.
Well, I...
Which, I mean, is not nothing.
Yeah, most of those are like 40-hour games. Well,
two. No, I mean, I speed them up, and I beat Final Fantasy 1 in like 6 hours.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Most of them weren't too long. 5 and 6 were longer because they were enjoyable. 4 was enjoyable, too, but it wasn't that long.
Yeah, I think I will finish. I'm 50 hours into Persona 3 Reload. It's so good. I forget that right after I finished Persona 4, I finished Persona 3. And at the end of Persona 3, I couldn't tell you which of the two was my favorite. In hindsight, I've always said Persona 4 Golden is my favorite. But Persona 3 makes a real case. And having the Persona 5 engine instead of the kind of, because the version I played, like, you couldn't walk around.
Move in the world. Yeah.
So having the Persona 5 engine, and there were so many random timers in Persona 3. Like, if you didn't hang out with people enough, you would lose friendship with them. So, like, you always had, like, timers in your head of, like, is this, like, I don't want to ignore them 4 times in a row, but I need to do this thing. So having that gone is also quite the blessing. But the characters are still just as great. The world is just as deep. It's just as thematic. So I'm loving it. I can't imagine I'll finish it.
Nice. I believe in you. But I think that brings us to the end of our show.
Yeah, it's true.
We've done it. Now I can say we've done it.
Yes.
I just jumped the gun a little bit. We did it.
This is Comics Palooza, the only comic book podcast that is always hot to go. I'm one of your hosts, Chance.
And I'm your other host, Cameron. It's a comics and nerd culture podcast.
We ended it at the beginning, so I thought we should start it at the end.
Begin it at the end.
Yeah.
Wait, you know, that's at the end we begin again. Thus, the cycle is complete. Yeah. And we're going to live stream it for the next 48 hours, just over and over again.
We're just going to keep playing this podcast.
I mean, I'm going to do it. You don't have to do it. I'm just going to play it over and over at my house.
Okay, good. Good.
Is that how live streaming works? No. But anyway, thanks for listening. Tell a friend. Mm-hmm. Write to us. We'd love to hear from you. But you will find us again next week at the same turtle time and the same bat channel.